It's not going to help the situation now.
I realize that, and we have to fix the situation. But we could hobble through what we've got with this cleaning method, perhaps, put the roughing filters in, we got to do that. I'm not opposed to doing those things, but to buy new sands when it's the wrong system?
But there's some other areas to consider too, is like it's been stated, there's several wells all over this town. The city owns one, has one, Shoemaker Bay. There's one been at, the airport had one. And the water there had so much argon in it that the DEC would not let them use it except for flush the toilets.
Those were shallow.
I don't know. But, you know, those are different areas. So you'd never know until you get one, of course, what it's going to be. Because some are good, some are, there's a well in between apparently that has got good water. So you never know. But all in all, those are things that may help next year.
Mr. Mayor?
But it's not helping the situation now.
Okay, so kind of, I'm not stuck on this well thing, but how far away is this well from where the reservoir is right now?
Well, it's in the trailer court at Evergreen.
Over here. So you're talking a long ways away. Why I ask that is because you're talking about wasting water for back flush and all that stuff. I just thought maybe if it was a little closer, you could use that well water for doing that kind of stuff. But we won't go there.
The water that back flush is actually treated.
Okay. All right. That's good. Okay.
I appreciate people thinking down the road for sure. And I think there's lots of good things there. But my limited glimpse into this world is that this would have to be a design system. More than likely there would be a chlorination plant and an ozone plant that would have to go in next to it. And not saying that it can't happen, but it's a ways away. And we would, you know, if we paid for it out of pocket, it's not like a personal well where you draw it and it's yours. But to bring us back to this today, it is my understanding that if we spend too much money on this water treatment plant, that it will negatively impact potentially our ability to receive DEC funds towards a new plant. Is that correct? So we have to be very sorry. I think you should answer out loud, Amber. You're nodding your head, but I don't.
Yes, Lee could probably speak to a little bit better, the first thing to consider is whether or not you're going to be pulling the money from our water fund, which has been suggested that we should use that first, so then you're depleting the reserves in that time before you then go to the general fund, which is the only other part of money, right? So there's some complexities there, and Lee has talked to the auditors about that. He can answer that question.
Okay, I think you answered it fairly well, that there is an impact, potentially.
Wait a minute.
No, actually, I just want to finish my train of thought first. So if we move forward with a whole-scale million-dollar sand replacement project, that is going to more than deplete. I mean, I don't even know what the Water Reserve Fund has, but my understanding is some of those funds are already spoken for. So I think there was about $200,000 left in the water reserve, plus or minus. So we would be looking at a general fund. And then that opens up, my worry is that potentially that would open up the general fund to the entire project. The DEC would just come say, hey, you have millions of dollars in your general fund. You seem willing to spend it on non-general fund items. Why don't we just take that money and use it for the plant?
That is true. They've already asked that question. Seen our finances and they know that there's the general fund, they know what's in there. We've told them that it's that enterprise funds support themselves and the general fund is not to be used for that. So that's what they've heard to date.
Thank you. Yes. Sorry, Julie, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to finish my train of thought there.
Well, but we have not heard the statement that us doing this work and using some of that money will for sure harm our chances of getting a USDA grant or loan. It may, and we would have to work through that. But in my mind, this doesn't take a rocket scientist or a high-paid lawyer to convince me that we're in an emergency situation still, as declared last summer. Nothing major has changed. And we're still we're going to deplete all of our money and loan the fund money in order to do, I mean, potentially these are options, right? So we're not, the fund is still not in any better position. It's in a worse position, in fact. I mean, that argument could certainly be made. So I don't know that it's necessarily a given that doing this work would hurt the chances of the plant.
I guess if I could, let's have Lee answer your financial questions. But what it does is it completely starts over the evaluation by rural development. So where we are now, they have our information. But if we start loaning money from the general fund, it completely changes the whole picture in their analyzation of our situation. Mm-hmm. So it will change the picture with them.
It'll change. They'll have to go back and reanalyze this.
And we have to go back and do a lot of additional paperwork with them. Yes. So it kind of starts the process completely over again.
And Carol, would you characterize that we have sort of said to them, this is not something we do? And
it's in our charter that we don't use general fund money for enterprise funds.
Mm-hmm. Enterprise projects.
So it seems to me at this point we're kind of stuck until we find out something from USDA about what they are willing to do. We're kind of stuck with these things we're trying to do to clean the sand we've got. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that everybody's understanding?
Yes.
And we probably haven't given it enough time to see if it does work.
Well, we haven't done it yet, so
yes. But you've done a little bit of it, but you haven't.
It was a very small trial of just trying to figure out if the mechanisms we were using would actually work in our favor.
Miracles of miracles, it may work to some degree.
I will add that I spoke to USDA today. They have their national office already looking at our project. So they just finished the first round of their underwriting process, which is where they go through and they review our financial capacity. They've gone ahead and sent this paperwork to National Army DC, so that they're trying to get a head start before all of our competition from across the United States comes flooding in. So we may hear from them soon. We don't know when. So as Carol's recommendation to you is in this memo, we would like to buy some time, figure out if we can claim the sand and how well that will work for us while we wait to hear what's going to happen. If we don't get funded or they come back and say, we're only going to give you $3 million of grant, you've got to come up and a $5 million loan, we're probably not going to be able to afford that. At that point, I think we have more information to make a decision on where do we go next.
Can I ask Lee a question?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, sounds good. It was what they called.
Lee Burgess, 8.5 miles from Ohio.
Thanks, Lee. Currently in the water reserve account, the enterprise fund, we have certain funds that are allocated, is my understanding. What is our overall in the reserve? What portion is allocated, and what part would you consider sort of free?
So what I basically have given you the last meeting on Thursday, as well as for today's meeting, is an estimate that at June 30th, that there will probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of $280,000 in unrestricted, if you will, budgetary-type reserves in the fund. Some of that has to do with the expectation of a timing cash flow issue related to the purchase of the most recent ozone generator. We're still in the process with DEC for the loan related to that. So depending on when that process will push through, that's part of the equation there. But, you know, as of like the, right now or within the next couple of months, that's basically the estimated money that would be unrestricted, available for expenditure. As I spoke to it in the memo or part of the memo, a general rule of thumb would be that a fund would need to mean ideally no less than half of an annual operating expenditure as its reserves. And that puts us right about there, if not below. So without a plan to, you know, address what's happening in terms of rates or looking at rate increases, it wouldn't be recommended that you spend significantly below that level unless it was very temporary and set to rebound. The other pot of money, I want to answer your question. The other pot of money was set aside years ago to be used to repay a DEC loan, and that loan cost $90,000 a year to service. So if it was being discussed to spend a large amount of money, say $500,000 on something, it would make more sense to spend the water zone money, even if it was this restricted money, than it would to go straight to a different, you know, to reach over into a different fund and structure some sort of interfund loan. Even though we set that money aside and put a restriction on it, it's an internally imposed restriction. And, you know, if it were that dire, that money would come first, probably. It solves a very immediate problem to be able to have money to spend, but the money was set aside to pay for debt service. So you've got this new debt service cost with no money that's paying for it. So you need to address that shortfall that you created for yourself in the way of a rate structure, an equivalent amount of a rate restructuring, rate increase. So there is money in the fund. It's just that it has been spoken for in the past for the purpose of meeting current debt service. Now, this isn't to speak anything of the upcoming new debt service that we're going to have. So.
Thank you.
One question about the $640,000 that's restricted reserves to pay the $90,000 a year loan payment. How many years does the loan payment have left?
I believe it's four more years.
Four more years. So, so it's got more there than that needs to be paid out.
There is a little more there. Yeah, that's true.
Four times 90, 360. So, okay.
I'm going to recess for 5 minutes at 9:18.
I'm going to stretch my legs.
9:13, yeah. Thank you. I can do
anything. I know I'm usually in bed by now. You know, I go to bed so early.
And I'll probably ask you well, we can beat this thing to death.
Mm-hmm. We may have to do that.
Yeah. We should not be able to have a meeting.
Excuse me. I know.
We should have a workshop.
Yes.
It just seems.
I made this. I'd like to see, you know, how this troubleshooting is going to go. I know.
So, Kim, are we just bringing people up here for a vacation?
Kim, do you have any candy in your office?
Yeah.
You need some. There's some in that some, little bowl.
I've got some relatives. Well, I mean, we could start just inviting them.
Excuse me.
That sure was a shock.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
A big one.
We can ourselves.
Oh my gosh. I tiled and I grouted my elbows and my neck is all caked.
I did that. Did you? I made benches.
Oh, did
I made
you?
Benches and
oh, wow.
I tiled the tops of them.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that was by Winter Project.
A bunch of stuff.
That hurts.
I am so done. I'm so, well, I'm not done.
We did the ranch house. We tiled the whole ranch house. It was like 3,000 square
feet.
My wife helped. And
no, I don't want any.
We're doing this job at after work. I take 2 Tylenol and my whiskey.
I take ibuprofen.
And whiskey. And so we got done one night. She was hurt really bad, and she says, "Did that really help?" And I said, "Sure. Want one?" And so I mixed her one, and she just slammed it.
Yeah.
And of course.
She was worthless.
She waited 5 minutes. This is. I said, "Do you want another one?" Yeah. So I made her another one. About 20 minutes later. Whoa.
I understand all the work that you're doing.
I can see why you drink this.
You don't also want to.
Yeah. I'm just ready for that project to be done. Just done.
Well, if I grouted it yet?
Yeah, I did that today.
How are your fingers?
Look at my poor thumb.
Oh, I'm telling you.
And I can't wear gloves.
I couldn't wear gloves and make it feel, you know, I just couldn't feel.
Well, I can't wear gloves because I have to rinse and it gets all. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense if you put all that grout on there and then you wash 90% of it back off. Mm.
Exactly.
I think we're going for a record. I think 9:30 was as long as we've ever gone before.
If Mr. Pazunka will join us, we'll continue.
No, you're
or
missing
Patty.
Oh, Patty. Everybody was
freaking. Give another kissy in that bottle.
Hey!
Well, we said 5 minutes, and that's gonna be 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
She looks over at
me. Okay. We convene assembly meeting at 9:18 p.m. The item under discussion was possible action regarding the water treatment plant improvement. Yes.
So can we have Lee come back up again? The information you put together for us is very helpful in helping to understand the problem on the financing side. And I think what was pretty shocking to me is to see it in black and white. We kind of talked about it in that workshop, but the numbers were all over the place. So to see it in black and white, the reality that we are not charging people, I mean, all customers across the board are not paying enough for what it costs us to produce water. And you know, by customer amount, or you know, amount of usage and charge, that sort of subsidy varies quite a bit. And I'm really kind of shocked that this has been like this for so long. It to me obviously says there's a need to adjust rates, but you know, on a quick glance here, it's hard for me to say what that adjustment should be. And I guess it kind of depends on what we end up doing as far as short-term, mid-term, and long-term fixes. But I think people need to realize that the rates have got to go up. It's just a question of how much. That's my interpretation of the information.
Oh, and I had a question on the cost to produce for 100 gallons on the large commercial metered, it's 34 cents, but the cost to produce for a metered commercial and a residential is 34 cents, and then the other one is 42 cents. Why is there a difference in the cost to produce water?
Good catch. It was probably, when we were using these worksheets to kind of look at the different scenarios, on one of them, we probably started with the 2015 cost per gallon, just to kind of see what 2015 would have been. And then in a different breakdown, looking at a different set of rates, we would have probably used a few years after the cost per gallon that year. Or at some point, I might have decided to use an average of a few years to try to get an average cost per gallon. So, good question, but it's probably just a matter of picking a rate to be able to see in a given fiscal year what the cost to produce it would have been. And so it's just a consistency issue.
Okay, so what is it today, do you think?
Well, I don't exactly know today because I would have to figure out what the costs that the water fund has incurred through the fiscal year so far have been. There's fluctuations year to year, depreciation is different. We bought an ozone generator 1 year but not another year. Those things make a difference. So I'd have to compile the expense information to date and then just do the basic calculations of the water production figures that were provided by the treatment operators.
Okay, but these are pretty close, aren't they? You would think?
They're close enough. I guess if I could explain a little more of what's driving the cost to produce a gallon of water. The going assumption in this calculation is that you would look at the total operational cost of the fund, including depreciation. And depreciation isn't something you see on the budget. It's a value given to the assets as they're going through their useful life. So I basically just referenced the total operating costs, including depreciation, from the audited financial statements. And that's the numerator here in all this. And then I guess the total treated water produced from the plant to kind of come up with what I think is a fair estimation of the total all-included cost per gallon. And from there, it's just basically plugging numbers and looking at it however you want to look at it, depending on the fiscal year and things like that. So depreciation is a big thing. The reason that it's not been funded in the past is, frankly, the ability over time to get a lot of grant funding to fund a lot of our assets. Our water mains, when we redo streets and put new water infrastructure in, that's some of the stuff that's depreciating that didn't always come from the direct rates we were charging. It was assistance from the state or federal level. So the reason that that's kind of been maybe overlooked and why these numbers look a little bit higher is because it makes sense to include them in terms of really analyzing what the true cost really is, especially in light of the reduction in some of that state and federal assistance that we were accustomed to for a long time.
Anything further for Lee?
Yeah, the biggest thing we don't know, though, is on residential, because it's not metered like we were talking about earlier, we don't know where we stand if that is, like, compensating for some of the other losses. Because you don't know if a house is using 1,000 gallons or 10,000 gallons annually or a year. So we don't know if the people in town are compensating for the losses of the commercial and large commercial. It's good sense that we're not metered. And I mean, I guess you could go to like other towns that are metered in this area, if there are some, and get an idea of what they use, you know, per household. I mean, that would be the only way you could get an average, because it'd be kind of hard to get an average from us.
It would. And there are maybe a couple of other communities that do unmetered residential. I think Haines is one example. Our residential rates do not look low compared to Haines. I think we're higher. And estimating the average, you know, consumption per household is kind of a guess, too. You could look at metered communities and get some information from them if they would share it.
Right.
But Petersburg also said that they estimated a 30% consumption reduction after they put the meters in. So you might be getting lower consumption when people are conscious of, you know, their use being tied to what they're going to pay.
Right.
So you're not going to get apples to apples necessarily, but you can get an idea. I spoke to the director in Haines, and she said that the going assumption was that the usage was 1,000 gallons per person per month. So if you've got a family of four, they would estimate 4,000 gallons of consumption. Our break-even point would be closer to 10,000 gallons, like you kind of see on the table. But I can't say for sure. I don't really know what the average consumption is, so we wouldn't unless we were to move to a metered system.
Anything further for Lee?
Yeah. Have we and I'm just, because we've moved off some other things here for a minute, but have we ever priced out what it would cost for the city to purchase water meters for each residence and what the average rate of install would be? And I know that typically you have residents purchase them more on new installs, but just out of curiosity, what is the cost for a meter and what is the average cost for an install?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I've become more and more curious as to what the answer is as these issues have become more present. But I can try to look into that, and you know, we can start with the neighbors who I don't think moved to it too long ago, and so they might be able to provide some help with it. I'm not sure.
The reason I ask that question is we're talking about some really big numbers here. And if we can reduce the amount that we demand, it may resize our replacement plant, and it may make our current plant more viable with some other tweaks. So if it costs us $300,000 to put in meters on everybody's house, and we save $1 million in debt servicing on a new plant, that's a pretty darn good investment for us.
That's something I'll look into. I think it can provide some help in some other ways, too. I think it's the fairness issue overall that's kind of hard to argue with. Some places will set their sewer rates relative to their water consumption, which makes some amount of sense unless you really pour a lot of water on your driveway or something. But there's just a lot of other things that become easier. You get to see consumption, you get to tie rates more closely to it, and things like that. So I'll see what I can find out.
Thank you.
Trey actually mentioned that he ran into Robert Venables, who works for Southeast Conference, and he was carrying a big bag to Metlakatla of the little inserts for restricting water flow, and just giving them, they're giving them away to everybody in Metlakatla, and that might be a super cheap thing for the city just to give to residents, anyone who is interested. A simple thing, but going back to rates, this chart is really good. Shows Wrangell's on the bottom of the chart, basically lowest rates of the four communities that you compared, which were Wrangell, Haynes, Petersburg, and Sitka. The only place I think that was lower than us was Haynes at the bottom consumption level, but Haynes quickly becomes higher than us as soon as you start using more water. So going back, I guess, to some of your memo, you talked about some theoretical options for using, a combination of restricted funds and maybe loan from the general fund. But I feel like there might be a way to maybe squeak out of the restricted fund and the unrestricted fund maybe enough to replace half the sand and the roughing filter and not have to touch any general fund. And I know it would leave us very, very bottom of the barrel for our water fund, but it also, in my mind, make a more substantial midterm fix for, the next 3 to 5 years. And it could give us breathing time to more clearly look at all these options and look at, I think the very next step actually then would have to be looking at rates. But that's my kind of my takeaway from seeing all the numbers attached with some of the other discussions about, options that we've been working on since last August.
I agree with Julie. I think we need to think in a hybrid fashion. And I don't know about two of the filters, but definitely I think we need to look at replacement sand. I like the idea of this, of doing one or two, depending on what we can afford, because it also runs a pilot program for us. So if we replace the sand in one of the filters and we improve our roughing filters on the top end, we will have a real-life experiment at scale to be able to see how effective our new roughing filters are in managing those pre-organics going into the new filter. And that would be kind of really awesome data to have, because if at the end of the season we look at it and we have a load of organics caught up in our new sand, we'd go, Well, obviously replacing all of our sand is not going to help. We're going to load them really fast. But if at the end of the season our sand is looking pretty good still, that would mean our roughing filter's top end are working well, and we could maybe look